Welcome back into the CC podcast, everybody. It is Friday, November 17th. Happy Friday to you. Happy almost Thanksgiving week to you. Mike Rutherford's here in Louisville, Kentucky. Dan Snard up in Columbus, Ohio. Dan, been a week since we talked. We recapped the Virginia game, so we don't have to do that. But we've got a lot going on. We've got a big football game in about 24 hours. We've got basketball above 500, getting back to its winning ways. We also did not really have a chance to talk about the Chattanooga loss, so we'll do a little bit of that and take some questions from you guys. But before we do any of that, got to say hey to Dan. How are you? How's the fam? Everybody ready for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we're doing all right. I was home this week, so that was nice. Got a little bit of controversy on our hands. I kind of spoke to you about it yesterday via text. I put I have a golf bag that I put on Facebook Marketplace. I had an actual tour golf bag, which it was nice. It just
felt unworthy.
Yes, I am not worthy of a tour golf bag. So, anyways, I got a new golf bag last year, and this has just been sitting here. I was like, oh, I'll throw it on Facebook Marketplace. It's like less than 24 hours later, my wife's like, you have 50 hits on this thing. I was like, I think I priced it wrong. So anyways, there's people haggling back and forth. They're like, I will come now if you give it to me for this price. I'm like, okay, well, obviously I'm not going on the Price is Right anytime soon. So yeah, should be interesting how this works out.
I did love that you posted that in one of our group chats, and our buddy Weber immediately is like, yeah, not sure if the 15 handicap should have been lugging around the tour bag for the last few years.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a nice bag, but it got very,
it's so annoying. Nice.
If I ever walked 18, everyone's just putting theirs on their stand. I'm like, I don't really have a caddy to hold my bag up. But anyway, so that's what's going on here.
Do you remember, I always had the opposite. Remember when we first started playing golf and I had that old ping bag that my brother gave me?
That thing looked like it was from 1950.
I would show up at the course and people would be like, oh my God, this guy's going to shoot 165. And then I'd go out there and be pretty okay. It was a nice way to start a conversation.
Literally looked like Happy Gilmore's first bag.
It 100% did. Had no stand. It just crumpled. I just throw it down when I got to the green. It was something. We were on opposite ends of that spectrum. We're entering a really fun time of the year for Louisville sports. Well, I mean, I say that for most Louisville sports. It's feast week. You got college basketball going on at all times of the day. Got a big time game for the football team, which can lock up a trip to the conference championship game tomorrow against Miami. Then the rivalry game, which I think has more buzz around it than it has in a long, long time. Basketball, women's basketball is looking good. Men's basketball, they're going to New York. We'll see how they do against Texas and probably Indiana, maybe UConn on Monday. But there are volleyball is chasing a national title again. They'll start their postseason soon. Men's soccer just won in the NCAA tournament last night. So all sorts of fun things happening. We're going to talk about a little bit of it all here on the podcast. I guess we start with basketball since we recapped the Virginia game with Friday's episode. And we don't need to be overly long on this. There's no reason to get the ire back because we didn't have a chance to talk about the Chattanooga game, which now is almost a week old, there's no point in getting all upset about this and yelling and screaming and doing stuff. But it felt like the all is lost moment if we haven't already been there for the bulk of the fan base. And then the team comes out Wednesday night and plays Coppin State, who, I mean, Dan, I think your junior year Trinity team that lost to both Atherton and Seneca and didn't get out of district could have probably beaten Coppin State on Wednesday. I haven't seen, you used to go to every game. I don't think that Louisville's ever played a worse non-conference opponent since we've been alive.
Yeah, I mean, subtle shot at Mike Szabo there. That's all right. But anyways,
it's more about Will Perdue.
I know. Anyways, I got a chance to watch the game, and it was at this point, I don't mean to sound harsh. I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when, and how the timing's going to work out. It's just it's a very the team, I mean, I'm glad, whatever. I'm glad they got a win. You know, these are young kids. I'm sure they wanted to be on the winning side of that. But just from a fan's perspective, I mean, I'm not saying anything that, you know, people already don't already know. But the style of play, I mean, the defense, the, you know, the defensive effort. I could watch those Mark Lieberman videos like all day. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm getting secondary embarrassment from watching some of these. But yeah, it's bad. It's not getting any better. I mean, to be honest, like if there was a competent team that we faced instead of Coppin State, like we honestly left a decent amount of shooters open that thank God they couldn't shoot. But there, like you said, there's no use in beating a dead horse here. We'll go to New York. You know, unfortunately, as much as I'm hoping for a win, I think we're going to get exposed pretty badly. But we'll see what happens.
What if we beat Texas and UConn?
It's not. I can't even entertain it because it's not. I mean, like, there's some.
Of course, it's
like,
not happening. Yeah, but what if it
I
did?
Won the lottery? Like, it's not going to happen.
I mean, we would all be like, "Well, I don't know what to do here. This is interesting." I agree with you. If we had played, it sounds terrible. If we played the way that we played against Coppin State, against Chattanooga, I think we would have lost by 20.
Yeah.
I feel like we played even worse against Coppin State, at least offensively. Defensively, there was some effort there, but it was hard to tell what was going on half the time because it felt like a rec league game. It was just it was bad.
I was like, is Coppin State getting more loose balls than us? Like I literally like had to like I was like, okay, whatever, just go back to watching.
I ranted and raved on Monday's radio show because I was very upset with the not just the way the team played against Chattanooga, but the post game press conference where Kenny Payne was playing his greatest hits from last year, essentially, and was saying, you know, we've got to get them to understand the name on the front of the jersey. Like, they need to understand how to win. Like, I thought they'd play harder. And I was like, at some point, like, I'm fucking sick of they. Like, there is no they anymore. It's we. It's us. This is your team. You're the head coach. You're responsible for this. You've been here now for a year and a half. You've had this job for 20 months. Like, it falls on you. There's no more being like, can you believe these players? Like, I'm just as upset as you guys. Like let's get it going now. That was my big issue with what happened on Friday.
I will say, and again, they won the game by 20. Like, I shouldn't be pointing out, like, negative things, but I'm going to just with how the whole 10 years gone. There was a play, if you go back and watch, I think Curtis Williams had the ball at the top of the key, and Kenny clearly like wants him to get into an offensive set and like makes a motion to like run the offense. Curtis blatantly ignores him and just goes right down the lane and fires up like an awful shot. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of where we're at right now.
First of all, I'm not going to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
I will never go back and watch it, but it was, yeah. I think that the players, you could see the frustration. The first, like, two segments of that game, I don't know like what we were trying to do. We took a shot like with 5 seconds to go in the shot clock every single time. It was like we go over this new motion offense that Kenny's trying to run. It's like we do it in practice without the basketball, and then we get into games and players aren't sure when to attack, so they just kind of run the same offense, and nobody ever makes a basketball move or an aggressive move to the basket until there's 3 seconds to go on the shot clock and somebody's got to fire something up. It was very strange to watch. I mean, the offense did not look good at any point. The defense was fine, but I think the defense, you know, anybody's defense would look good against Coppin State the way that they were playing on Wednesday night. It was just,
yeah. For Kenny Payne's rep coming in, you know, and I don't know where this rep, I mean, because he had Anthony Davis, he didn't really have to do much, but as like a big man whisper, it's like, we sure shot a lot of threes against Coppin State. I'm like, oh my God, we are just jacking right now.
6 of 21, not great.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I feel bad. You know, it is what it is at this point. We've seen enough evidence. There's no use to being like, what if they, you know, like you brought up, because it's obviously not going to happen. So I think as fans, we just kind of got to string this out, take our probably embarrassment or verbal abuse from around the country and hope that whatever comes after this is, you know, a game changer for the program.
I was talking like when the game was going like poorly early on in on Wednesday when it was like 9-9 and we weren't playing very well. You know, Mary's watching the game a little bit and she's like, she immediately does like the fan thing where she goes right to UK and she's like, I'm so embarrassed. Like, there's going to be like only UK fans at the Yum Center for that game and they're going to be cheering and it's going to be so bad. And like, we're watching the game goes on. We throw like a terrible pass out of bounds and Mary's like, Michael, we've got to get out of this UK game. And I was like, it's not like a dinner reservation with friends. We can't just get out. Like, we've moved past the COVID years where we're going to get somebody who has COVID and we could potentially cancel it. I'm like, the game's going to happen. I don't know what to tell you. We're not getting out of that game. But she was like so panicked. She's like, we've got to get out of this game. We can't play it. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's going to happen.
Yeah, and then the Kentucky Kansas game, obviously, that you know, the night before, that's
Jesus.
probably what triggered it, because I was like, okay, well, this isn't fun. And I hate to even admit it, but they look pretty good, and it feels like they're only going to get better, which is just very, I mean, like, you know, not that Kenny was down bad already, but you know, if you get the team in Lexington rolling, you know, on top of it, you're just digging yourself an even deeper hole at the fan base. And you know, that seems to be the case right now.
No, I mean, you know what this is? It's a down year for the sport.
It is down here.
Everybody's bad.
Nobody cares.
Nobody worse than anybody else. The line between 1 and 362 has never been so thin. I think we saw that on Wednesday. The style of play was just as high as the style of play Tuesday night at the Champions Classic. It's just a down year for the sport. Another down year. We're gonna do the UK thing all year when they're bad. And we're good. It's down year for the sport. It's another down year for the sport. Who cares? Transfer portal is ruining college basketball, Dan. I
I
can't.
will
It's
say,
unwatchable.
I was nice to kind of reaffirm my hate for UK, because I'll be honest, the past couple of years the teams have been so blah for them that I haven't been triggered as I was. But when I found myself like really pulling for Hunter Dickinson, I was like, Jesus, I really do hate UK. So it was nice to get that kind of feeling back in my pit a little bit. But you know, like I said, we're so bad right now, it feels kind of silly to even to do that, but I'm still going to, because I'm petty.
I reaffirmed my hate this summer when I was the umpire of the Jack Harlow kickball tournament and the UK, like it was like all the UK players were on the UK team and they were dicks. They were like going crazy, like arguing every call, trying to work walks, like arguing balls and strikes. I'm like, it's a fucking celebrity kickball tournament. And like all the people in the crowd here are here to see Jack Harlow and his people. They're not here to see you. Like Justin Edwards was the most annoying out of all of them. Like just a complete ass. Like I was like, okay, well, it feels good to hate UK again at least. Reed
Yeah.
Sheppard was nice. You know, he was the I did feel bad for Reed Sheppard at one point because he they had that. Have you seen like the Focus can that the Jack Harlow sponsored Focus can that's
Yes.
been out for? So they had that like everywhere, of course. And so he like goes to open one and he like looks around, looks at me, and he's like, what's in this? Like for a split second, he kind of gets freaked out that maybe it's like an alcoholic drink and someone's gonna snap a picture of him because it does look like a High Noon or some of those seltzers that are going around. So I was like, oh, classic like
You're like
19 year old good kid.
why don't you flip your commitment and I'll tell you.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah, which
How
like
badly do you want to play in Rupp Arena as opposed to in front of 4,000 fans at the KFC Yum Center?
God, this just is so bad.
The
Jeez.
attendance the attendance on Wednesday was the most depressing I've ever seen. I mean, you know, we got the I'll give shout out to Louis Ribeau, horse racing's finest analyst, who he put in a FOIA request for Louisville basketball, the actual numbers, the scanned tickets for the first two games, not the announced attendance. I think the announced attendance was like 11,000 for the first game and 10 and change for the second game. And the actual numbers were about 5,800 for the UMBC season opener, and then about 5,700 for the second game against Chattanooga. And like, that's unbelievable when you take into account, like, when you and I were growing up, and unless there was a like 10 inches of snow on the ground, you were going to have at least 19,000 people there every single game. And it's so, I mean, you saw like entire sections that had one or two people in them on set. You know, somebody was telling me who was at the game, they did a t-shirt toss and one of the t-shirts landed in a section with like nobody there, and it just like laid there. No, nobody went and got it. There's just like a t-shirt just lying there. I was like, how depressing is that? You had the kid at halftime who goes down and has the sign that says "Please just win" behind Kent Taylor and Jody Demme, which they took from him. Come on, don't take that. That was not a bad sign. Like he's just echoing our sentiment. But like the attendance, we don't need to have a whole attendance talk. But it is sad just to see. I never thought it would get to this point. Never.
Yeah, I mean, hell, they put Barrino's by the bridge. You know, out of business. They're moving.
Look what you did, Kenny.
Yeah, Jesus, but it is sad. I mean, geez, it's like you're, you know, if you watch baseball, you watch like the Oakland A's games and they cover their top section. And I'm like, is that what we've reached right now?
So, we need to start covering the top section because I don't know what we're doing. And by the way, if you're going to your seats up there, God love you.
Like, I know.
Just seriously. Go ahead and move down. It's fine.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, we need to run like beer specials, like, you know, just anything to increase the fan experience here. It's rough, no doubt. And obviously, I'm sure everyone's talked about it on radio and stuff. That's, you know, having that many people in the stands is not a sustainable model. So I just wonder, first off, I mean, what are me and you going to talk about when football's over?
I'm like, I don't know.
Are we going to have to break down Brandon Huntley Hatfield's post moves?
I can't do it for another year. I'm out of self-deprecating jokes, too. Like, the well went dry last year.
I can't imagine you. I mean, I really do feel for you.
I mean, I tried to do the whole thing on Wednesday night where I was like, you know, some local teams are 2-1 and they got a win this week. Some local teams are 2-1 and they got a loss this week. It really makes you wonder who peaked in week one and who's just getting better right now. And I was like, am I going to have to fucking do this all year? I was like, I can't do the sarcastic jokes again for 5 full months. I'm out of material. Last year, I'm dry. It's over.
I'm just curious how much is going on behind the scenes as far as Josh Hurd goes. Like, you know, is he someone that's going to keep it quiet enough to where things are already moving? You know, or is he really going to let this just kind of play out and wait for the season to end? Because obviously that seems like that's when coaches, you know, become more available. So if anything leaks, I mean, I'm desperate for anything at this point. But so far it sounds like it's a pretty tight ship, or maybe nothing's happening.
Yeah, I mean, people, we get questions every single day on the radio show, like, are you hearing anything? And I'm like, I'm hearing a lot. I just don't know if I believe any of it. Like,
right.
You know, I'm getting 5 or 6 texts, emails, DMs a day from people who are hearing stuff or hearing stuff. And you know, is it, I don't know if I believe any of it. I don't know who to believe. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I get one last week that's like, I'm hearing they're going to fire him after the Texas game. And I'm like, well, that would be super weird considering they're all in New York and they have another game to play on Monday. And the guy's like, oh, I forgot they had a game on Monday. Maybe that's not true. But my sources, I'm like, yeah, that's probably not happening. I don't know. When you and I were growing up, I don't know if you felt the way that I did, but like, for a long time, probably longer than I should, I kind of assumed that everybody across the country who was a college sports fan was just as passionate about college basketball as we were. Because, I mean, that's just like, if you're listening to this, you probably were the same way. From a young age up until now, like, it was in your DNA. You were watching Louisville in the winter. It was what you did. And it took until I got a little bit older to realize that if you're a fan of, like, Oklahoma, you were super into football and you just kind of didn't care about basketball until – maybe they made the NCAA tournament or maybe till college football was over. And I always just sort of wondered, like, how do you just not pay attention to even these early season games against nobody opponents that you're going to win by a million points? And Wednesday night was one of the first times where I sort of felt like we were those types of fans, like kind of how they always grew up. I mean, there's nobody at the game. There's not a ton of buzz on social media, at least not like the way that it used to be. We've got friends that aren't even watching the game, that don't even know it's happening. Like, it's so sad. I never, ever, ever, regardless of what happened, you could have told me we'd have a 3-year death penalty. I never thought that Louisville basketball would get to this point where people are so angry and apathetic at the same time. And it's justified because the product is so bad. This has to change.
I think it's a combination of exactly what you said. I mean, the product is so bad, but like, I mean, just being honest, I didn't miss a game. Like, I love college basketball, but like, you know, they don't do a really good job of marketing themselves. Like, the beginning of the season is just so clunky. Like, I just, you know, people are like, holy shit, first college basketball game on like a random Monday or Tuesday. There's no big promotions. Like, I know they do like the Feast Week tournaments and stuff. And like, of course we like that, but I feel like they got to do a better job of timing, a better job of marketing, because it's not just, I mean, Rupp, you know, Rupp Arena is half empty, it seems yeah. like, during their game. So I think college basketball, and I hate it, but, it, you know, football has just gotten so big, it does feel like it's lost a little bit of sizzle. But, I, you know, once we get the right guy in here and get the program rolling again, I have no doubt that we can get it back to where it was. We're just, you know, it's rock bottom. We're in dark times right now.
When we get back to being good,
it's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be so obnoxious.
Yeah.
Because I've never really been that type of fan. Even when we've been really good, I've always been like the, like, I don't know, you know, watch, like, I think we're better than Notre Dame, but they could give us trouble here. Like, like, when we get back to being good and we're winning these early, I'm going to be like, just suck my dick, IUPUI. Like, fuck you. We just beat you by 40. Like, it's going to be great. Like, you know, I'll be just overly brash with UK. I can't wait to be that person. It's going to be so fun. It will be like a decade of pent up fan energy that's just going to be released on everybody.
Yeah, it feels so far away, but
it maybe does. It's
closer than we think.
Can we talk about the Caron Davis mystery?
Yes, it is a big mystery, apparently, allegedly.
This guy has not officially appeared in a UofL game. I already want a 30 for 30 on Caron Davis.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we the only glimpse we got was this red-white scrimmage, which was left to be desired.
Well, he played in the Simmons College game too, and looked awful. So, I mean, this guy, he's got the weirdest recruiting story that I've ever seen as a Louisville fan. He comes out of quite literally nowhere. Like, he's a junior college player in the second division in California with no recruiting profile. The only website in America that ranks junior college players does not have him in their top 250 JUCO recruits. He plays at a level that just never produces D1 talent at any level, let alone a place like Louisville. Out of absolutely nowhere, we signed this kid. Then you're hearing reports this summer that like fans are trying to do the thing where it's like, Caron Davis is a point guard. Don't let anybody tell you differently. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know? Like nobody knows anything about this guy. We see him play for the first time. Does not look great in the red-white scrimmage. He is totally lost in the first exhibition game, and we haven't really seen him since. There's this rumor a couple weeks ago that he and Kenny Payne got into an altercation and had to be broken up by security. UofL vehemently denies it. Kenny Payne denies it. Caron Davis denies it. To my knowledge, like what was out there was not true. And then he mysteriously is just not even on the bench on Wednesday night's game. And the best part about the whole night, I mean, honestly, the best part about the whole night, period, was Rick Bozich tweets, Caron Davis, not at the game tonight. Kenny Payne will address it afterwards. And then Kenny Payne, during the postgame press conference, literally says, this is not the place to address it and won't get into it. Just says, it was my decision. He's not in any trouble, which makes no sense at all. Like, why is he not even allowed to be there if he's not in any trouble? It is like, you know, your wife is like, you're not in any trouble, but you're going to sleep on the couch tonight. I guess it could be like an academic issue, but I don't know why you wouldn't just say that. I mean, you know that there's going to be speculation and people talking after what happened a couple of weeks ago. I don't like this. The messaging from this program, just they cannot get out of their own way. I don't know why you wouldn't just come out and like hint that it's not, you're leaving yourself open for everybody to go crazy with this thing. And people have for the last 24 hours.
I think what we've learned, with like the Chris Mack hire and the Kenny Payne hire, I mean, I don't know, like Denny just had a way to kind of charm the media, even though like he's not as similar as Rick was, but you know, Mac, he was just pretty much straightforward, didn't give a lot of insight. And then Kenny really, I mean, needs a 101 on, you know, how to handle the media. So I think looking into the next coach, I think like I mean, of course it's going to be about basketball. It's going to be about X's and O's first and foremost, having a plan, recruiting. But like, I think they're going to really want like a communicator, a leader of the program that knows how to handle these type of situations. Cause like you said, you know, it's been a disaster from this staff from the get go.
Yeah, I get to the point now where every time I see a coach give a really good answer or like have a nice press conference moment, I'm like, God damn it, I want that. Like, I need that. Like Ed Cooley's thing this yeah. week where he was like talking to the reporters and, you know, he's like, you're in the room, like you're in the shit now. Like get you. I was like, that's awesome. I was like, we need somebody like that. I mean, I did think that Kenny Payne gave a really good answer to the question about attendance. He was asked straight up, you know, you see the empty seats there. What do you think about that? Like, how do you like get over that? And he starts off like usually with Kenny Payne answers. I'm like, good, good. Oh no. And he like goes off the rails. This one was kind of the reverse where it sounds like he wants to start talking about like, you know, some of the issues with the team and like the issues with the fan base. And then he gets into like, it's on us to win. Like when we win, the fans will show up. Like we have to do our part. And I was like, good. I was like, it doesn't change anything now because it feels like this is already lost. But if you could have struck this chord more consistently for the last year and a half, I think people would have been a lot more receptive to your message instead of doing the whole, like, you know, it's, we've got bad kids and it's their fault. And yeah, I don't know.
At the end of the day, it's an answer. It doesn't change what's happening. No. On the court. So, I think obviously that's what everybody wants to see. So there's, you know, I think we've drilled down hard enough. It's like we only have 20 something games to go where we're going to be giving the exact same speech over and over.
Yeah. I think that, and this, I promise we'll move on from basketball after this. Like, you know, the Chattanooga game, I do feel like was a deal breaker for a lot of people. Like the so-called KP mafia. I think you saw all of them kind of be like, all right, there's no defending this anymore. This is bad. Give me some names who should be looking out for. And beating Coppin State by 20, I kind of wondered if there was going to be a little bit of, you know, see, I told you guys, like we're heading in the right direction. And it didn't seem like it changed anything for anybody. I think everybody's kind of on the same page still that just this is unsustainable. And we all wished it would have worked out, but it's not. We can see where this is headed. So on that note, beat Texas.
Yeah.
good luck in New York.
Going to New York.
Concrete jungle where Kenny wins games. There's nothing he can't do.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I mean,
Ron Davis in New York. Oh, my God. I mean, if it was any other year, I'd be like, what a great week. We've got Thanksgiving. The Lions are incredible. We kick it off with two games in New York. Like, it'd be great. And instead, I'm like, well, I might get off the radio show because it looks like they're going to play on 3:30 on Monday. So that's about all we have. I don't mean Indiana hasn't even looked good. And I'm like, oh, they'll beat us by 20.
Yeah. Yep, I'm the same way. I love how you threw the Lions in there. It's like, don't look behind you. There's someone coming up, the Pasternak.
Don't worry. We're not looking behind us because you're still way too far for it to be even in our rearview mirror.
All right. Well, I'm just saying. Vikes are hot. 5 in a row.
Gonna be. I do hate the schedule. We play. Do you realize like we play each other two of the last twice. 3 weeks of the season?
I love it. Yeah. No. It's bring it on. Dumb. I'm very excited.
It's silly. Well, I mean, congrats. You have already been out of the playoffs when we play you in December. So suck it. That's Kenny's awesome. In New York.
I thought about freestyling that, and then I was like, I don't want to butcher this in case it goes live here.
Karan Davis in New York. All right, let's stick with some questions. I can't stop thinking about it now.
Oh, God.
There's nothing he can do.
Well, we'll have some sort of jingle we'll put out.
What other song? Oh, Zan's a rocket man. Okay. Okay, let's refocus here. Actually, I'll tell you what. This is a perfect time to tell you about our friends over at Home Field Apparel. They got Black Friday deals that have already started now. They're a week ahead of the game. If you want to take advantage of Home Field Apparel's best deals of the year, go to homefieldapparel.com anytime this week. Use their extra promo codes or use our promo code Chronicle15 at checkout. Check out their gear. Their lineup of over 150 different college gear, including all sorts of UofL stuff, the best retro designs, the softest hoodies, the best tees, that awesome new bomber jacket. It's all happening over at Home Field Apparel. Follow them on social media at Homefield Apparel without an E on Twitter and at Homefield Apparel on Instagram to keep updates on all their latest drops. We love our friends over at Homefield Apparel. Check them out this week and take full advantage of their Black Friday deals. And if you are going to New York, they are having a meetup of the fan bases of the four schools that are playing in the Empire Classic. You can check out all the details on cardchronicle.com. I put it up on yesterday's news and notes post. So we love our friends there at Homefield Apparel. All right, Dan, we're going to talk football at the end of the podcast. We asked for some questions on Twitter. You guys delivered as you always do. Let's get to it. Let's see. Ryan Keeling says, first time caller, how do you make tea? I've never made tea in my life.
Tea is like sneaky kind of good. But I know it's like one of those things, like when I drink it, I'm like, I should probably do this more. But I just don't. So that's where I'm at with that. But yeah, as far as how to make it, I think you just drop something in some really hot water and that's pretty much it.
I think I have made tea like that, but I've never done like the whole, like I lived with a guy, shout out to our friend Kevin Blankenship, who like made tea, like when the kettle and all that stuff, like where it would whistle, like he did like every day. I've never been like a high end tea guy. I don't like tea. It tastes like crap water.
Maybe a winter hobby for us to adopt, the tea drinkers during basketball season. I need something. The Blue Jackets suck. I gotta get something going here in the winter.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Tea Talk with Mike and Dan.
Oh, there's a tea bag joke in there somewhere.
Five minutes of U of O basketball talk and then 55 minutes of tea talk. Yeah. James says, KenPom has Louisville winning officially by his metric six additional games with a 10-win prediction. Over under 9.5 win total. Which side are you taking now that we have three games of result baseline? I feel like 9.5 is the right over under set. Like, I still think that we can beat I think we should beat Bellarmine, although Bellarmine played Chattanooga better than we did, and they played them on the road. I think we should beat New Mexico State. Pepperdine has lost, I think, 29 consecutive road games. They come in December, which is terrifying that we could break that streak. DePaul has looked almost as bad as we have. I still think that we can get to, like, 10, 11, 12 wins and be a really bad basketball team. The schedule is so bad, and the ACC is not great again. Would I be shocked if we only won six or seven games after what I've seen through the first three games? No. I'm gonna take the very soft over. I'm gonna say we get to like 10 wins.
Yeah, I'm going under.
You're probably right.
I mean, the only way, I mean, I think we might hit the over. I mean, there's always one or two games where, like, you know, you're just like, where the hell did that come from? Like, we make like 10 or 11 threes and it's your night. But with the defense being what it is right now, it's just so bad that it even a abnormal offensive night, I don't think can overcome our defensive efficiencies. So I'm going to go under 9.5.
Same defense that just held a D1 opponent to 41 points, Dan.
Yeah, just Kenny was like, I think we got something here. I was like, I don't think we do.
Dr. Dunk says, would you take a Lions Super Bowl if it meant another 5 years without the men's team making the NCAA field? No, I wouldn't. Like, Lions Super Bowl would be incredible. I will admit, like, I am a much bigger U of L fan than I am a Lions fan. Like, my hierarchy is, like, U of L sports, then probably Reds, then Lions, then like Avalanche. So like, while I love the Lions, I don't think I can go another 5 years without Louisville making the NCAA tournament. Like, I don't think that I think I would just cease to exist. I can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Louisville's your livelihood, so I don't That's blame it. Me for that answer. But yeah, I think I would be the same way with the Vikes. Like, I'd say out of, you know, like, if U of L Vikes, it's not even a question for me, even though I love the Vikes, but and they're due, just like the Lions. But I don't think I can go 5 years without visiting the tournament again.
Let me ask you this question, because I had this hypothetical on the radio show. Would you take, like, let's assume that this year kind of goes the way that it's looking like it's going to go, and, you know, we only win 8, 9, 10 games. It's a disaster. It's a terrible year. Would you take yet another one of these types of basketball seasons next year? No details about who the head coach is. Maybe it's still Kenny. Maybe it's a different head coach. If it meant football made the playoff this year.
Yes.
I said yes to.
Because, like, I still think whoever comes in next year is going to have such an uphill climb that, yeah, it might be better, but we're not going to do anything special. Like, a college football playoff is a yes, you take it when you can get it moment.
Totally agree. And it's hypothetical, like, there's no guarantee that we're not going to lose by like 80 to Georgia or something. Like, you know, the results go the way that they would, but you take it if you can get it, especially with a 14 playoff this year. Like, just, I think it would do wonders for the athletic program just to have your name in those type of lights. And like you said, if we hire somebody else next year, you know, and they fall flat on their face, like, it's not going to be as overreacted to. It's not going to hurt as bad as it would if we had been in a relatively stronger place. I mean, people would talk, like, I keep getting people who are like, who would want to come and take over this dumpster fire? And I'm like, a lot of people. Yeah. We are in a much stronger position to hire a big time head coach right now than we were 2 years ago. It's not even close. We have the money to do it. We do. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. Now, is there a limit to that? Of course, but that there is money. We've got no NCAA cloud. Nobody can use that against us. And when have you ever seen Louisville basketball in a position where somebody can come in and play savior right away? If you go to the NCAA tournament in year one next year at Louisville, you're God. When else have we ever been in that spot? Like, if Kenny Payne had done it last year, it would have been a huge deal. It's like five times as bad now as it was then. Like, it will never be like this again, hopefully. So if you're, I don't know, like an up-and-comer or a guy who's been a Tier B coach who's looking to make that jump to Tier A and, like, make a bigger name for himself, like, Louisville's a perfect spot for you because you can go – if you go 500 in year one, people are happy. If you go to the NCAA tournament, you're God. If you have a terrible year, people are disappointed, but they're willing to give you a little bit of time. This should be a very attractive job to a lot of people out there, and I think it will be.
And the way you phrased it, it makes it sound like, especially like you said, maybe for a young and up and coming coach, it would be very attractive because it's like, Jesus, like, big time program. And the absolute lowest expectations that program is ever going to have. Like, it only can go up. Whereas, like, a big name, granted, it's Louisville, there's going to be money thrown around. You know, you're probably going from a very, you know, nice situation to like, all right, here we go. I got to build it from the ground up again. So,
yeah.
That part is interesting, but yeah, I mean, you can only, unless there's like NCAA sanctions involved in your first year, you literally can only go up.
Leland Ratcliffe says, after the story about Dan's high school house party, I've got to know about the first time he ever got hammered. Feels like a golden story waiting to be told. Do you remember the first time you got drunk?
Oh man. Let's see, I was seven. gosh, when was it? I mean, it's probably like sometime freshman year. It's like, shout out Lauren May's house, maybe.
Lo May's house was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I did anything outrageous. I did more dumb stuff once, you know, I kind of realized how fun this was going to be. But yeah, don't have anything too exciting, but down the road there were some stories that, you know, I'm gonna keep in my pocket, and if you ever want to, you know, throw a beer down with me at a cards game, we can discuss.
I vividly remember mine. It was eighth grade. sorry mom and dad. Eric Whining was over at my house. Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Whining. It was just his birthday a couple days ago, and I think there was like some beer and some wine coolers in my garage, and we got into it. And I remember, like, we were like, the only thing that I remember is we were so dumb. Like, I think we were definitely like playing it up a little bit, but we were watching old like Ohio State basketball highlights, and like Scoony Penn was, and we were like, Scoony, Scoony, Scoony.
Dude, Scoony's like a huge name up here. They love Scoony.
So like that was red, yeah. So like it was like an inside story for me and Whining. Like the rest of the year, we'd be like, Scoony, but then both of our stomachs started to hurt really badly. That was classic first time drinking.
I think Scoony's got a kid up here that's really good. Sorry, I'm back on Scoony here, but
love Scoony Penn.
Yeah, that was kind of a, even though Ohio State, their basketball history is, well, it's not terrible, but that was a fun team, even though I think they that got wiped out by sanctions, I believe.
Who cares? Yeah. It happened.
Yeah.
Red the Room says, is next year's starting quarterback on Louisville's roster right now? I think this is another one that we've had a lot of variations of this type of question. My answer would be no, but I don't feel overly confident in saying that. I do feel confident in saying they will go out and they will will target a number of quarterbacks in the transfer portal. There's already some buzz about this kid from Tulane being interested in Louisville. I would assume that there's some reciprocal interest there, but you're losing your QB 1, 2, and 3 off this year's team. Plummer's gone, Doman's gone, Conley's gone. You've got Harrison Bailey, who I think they like. I think they like his potential. You've got Pierce Clarkson, who has, I think, been better than they thought he was going to be during fall camp, but still a little bit small. Is he ready just yet? Brady Allen, big kid with a big arm, but just did not really show much so far. You got Deuce Adams coming in, who's a true freshman that they really like. I still think they're going to go. I think it'll be a big-time competition that will last throughout, January through August. But I think they'll go out in the transfer portal and get somebody who probably winds up being their starter for next year. If I had to guess, that would be what I would say.
This is what I'll say. If Clarkson is on the team next year, he will – it's a two QB systems, but I believe he will be getting reps. If he's – if not, I feel like he's someone, if he's not going to get a shot next year, he might look to go elsewhere. But I think if he's on the roster, then I feel confident that he's at least worked his way into the starting equation. But I do kind of agree with you. I think Jeff's going to go out and try to get somebody established, and maybe, run a quarterback competition in fall camp.
Remember on the pod a month ago when I said, remember that you heard it here first, that there's a former wide receiver name that has been maybe reaching out, maybe interested in playing for Louisville next year? And
yes. Then
we saw Pierce Clarkson tweeting about the trio returning last week, and Texas A&M fired its head coach. Maybe Ruan Owens is interested. Maybe that wide receiver that was being alluded to is interested. Just
Pete Thamel will never credit you.
Pete Thamel will never give me credit. He's going to come out with the same. He'll bust it out in 2 weeks, and everybody will just go crazy about Pete Thamel saying stuff. Yeah. It's fine. I don't care. Just keep getting my sloppy seconds, Pete.
Dude, Pete is on a rampage on Twitter now, breaking Michigan news.
About Michigan stuff?
Yeah, I'm following it. It's like, that. Not great. There's a guy named Uncle T involved, a big booster. So that's when you know the Michigan men are trembling.
I do love one of my favorite things about last week is because your wife is holding steadfast. She's a diehard Michigan fan,
yes.
And she's very much on the something happened, but they're overblowing it train. And I love that you sent us a picture of you wearing your Michigan stuff and being I'm supporting the family. And then she immediately goes on Instagram and posts a picture of just her and the kids and all their Michigan stuff and is bet, doing the whole Michigan thing. I'm like, your support went totally unnoticed.
I mean, for God's sakes, I'm on a Louisville podcast. I'm a supportive husband, but I think deep down, I don't know. She's you need to be all in. You're just 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I'm I got to see what the sanctions say first. yeah, right now it's tough to be 2 feet in here. I'm not going to lie. It doesn't look good.
Jeremy says, is Kenny gone in December or March? Seems like interim with energy could get butts in seats after a few games. And if they start winning, there's talent on this team. They just need direction. I have no idea. People keep asking these types of questions, and I'll be perfectly honest. I've got no idea if these rumors of stuff happening behind the scenes are true, if there's any possibility that he gets fired before the end of the season. I don't know. Hands up. I don't know. I do think that there are people that would love to coach the team for free who are like, hey, man, how about you stop blaming the players? I will do this just to make to bring up the old adage of, coaches get credit players get credit for wins. Coaches take the blame for losses. That's the way that it's supposed to be. I think there are people who would accept the job. I don't think that that's a route they're going to go, but what do I know?
I think, and we didn't talk, God, we are just piling on here, but one thing that we haven't talked about is how well the former players of last year doing at their other schools. If that's not the biggest red flag for this coaching staff has no idea how to develop talent or run a competent system, then I don't know what is.
Yeah, 2 days after we lose to Chattanooga by 10, L. Ellis becomes the second player in Arkansas history to score at least 17 points, have 8 assists, and no turnovers in the game. And I was like, oh, well that's nice.
I owe L an apology. because I said like he might be addition by subtraction, and it wasn't a shot at him. Like, it was just from like what I saw, like how we ran the team last year. But like, you know, now watching kind of what they're doing with Sky, I'm like, dude, it's not L. Like,
he had nobody. There was nobody else to handle the ball last year.
Yeah, I know that was a miss by me. So,
L's playing really well.
I'm glad he's doing well.
Kamari Lance is playing well at Arizona State. By the way, Matt Cross is averaging like 14 points per game at UMass. Sidney Curry's playing really well at Grand Canyon. It's like, and then there's Jalen Withers, who is doing what I think we thought he was going to do at North Carolina, which is score 4 points in two games. He's not going to do much. So, but everybody else is having solid starts to their seasons. Lil Hurl says, how were the experts in basketball establishment so wrong about KP in the spring of 22? Well, I think a lot of people were right about Kenny Payne. I mean, we talked about it on this podcast. Like, a lot of people were like, don't hire this guy, but there were a lot of people that were very for it, but they were wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean,
just walk into a convenience store.
No, that my doorbell's ringing. I'm not going to answer it. That's what you get on a live pod, folks.
Just real life.
I know this might actually be the guy picking up the golf bag. I'm hiding. Anyways. Yeah, no, I don't even know what the question was. Yeah, Kenny's not doing good, and the experts were obviously, I don't know. It's so weird, like, how some guys, as far as, like, experts go, like, even when they're wrong, like, they're like, whatever, I'm already on this point. Like, I'm going to drive it home, like, as much as I can, and they, like, refuse to give in. Feels like half our fan base did the same thing.
Robert says, has Danny ever done his portion of the podcast from the parking lot of a strip club?
No, but I did. God, what did I do? Okay, what's going on here? No, but
with it's like that seven guys there for the golf bag.
Yeah, seriously, Jack Nicklaus is here. but I think there was a couple weeks ago. I called you guys, I texted you guys from the old Racers parking lot, which Racers is a gentleman's club establishment that is on I-71 north, heading to Cincinnati, right across from the Speedway. Not confirming that I have or have not been there, but I will say that I did take a drive into their parking lot just to pay my respects. That is no longer open.
Racers was disgusting. I mean, one of my favorite stories of all time is we came back from a bachelor party where we admitted to going to Racers, and one of our best friends, Chris Kircher, his wife Ashley, she's got a twang. She's like, you guys went to a strip club, and we're like, yeah, like we went to Racers. She's like, that's like the worst one. The way she said it just made me laugh so hard. I was like, we did. I've been to Racers multiple times.
Yeah, that was respects. Those were the good times.
were they?
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Andrew says, if you were to call Kenny hundreds of times, what would you want to call Kenny hundreds of times about? I don't know. What's going on with Caron Davis? Who knows?
Yeah. I Kenny's body language kind of tells me. I mean, like, I think he knows, but
I've got a fun activity for you to do, and for everybody listening to this. Somebody pointed this out to me. If you go to YouTube and you type in Kenny Payne press conference and then just scroll down, the still shot from every single one of the videos is almost exactly the same. He's got his hands out and he's giving like a half smile answer. Like, it's fucking incredible. I thought I was like the guy like hyped it up to me, and I was like, there's no way this is as good as I think. And, like, you're going down, like, it's the exact same pose in every single video. It's unbelievable. Like, just seriously, try it. Do it right now if you're listening.
The Kenny statue, just hands out.
Just hands out, halfway smiling, answering a question about how bad his basketball team is.
Jesus.
Mikey says, what's the best Bobby Pacino story that fans might not know? Well, I mean, I'm not going to do that. I mean, we're not going to get into some of those.
Yeah.
My favorite one that a student manager said, like, so I think people know about the story now at this point, maybe not all the details, about how he used to get every time we beat UK, he would get when he was here the first time, he would get a picture of the scoreboard framed and he would hang it up in his office. And so after the second year, it was the 28-0 game. He took a picture of the scoreboard. A student manager brought it in, and he's like, hold it up for me. Hold it up for me. And the student manager's like holding his office, and he's got to like stand there like a statue. And Bobby's like, look at that. It's fucking beautiful. Fucking slapdicks couldn't even score a point. Like that's one of the best.
It literally is one of the best stories that I've heard involving Louisville sports. Like I when I read that, I was like floating out of the room.
Jay Lycan says, during the VA game, how can you not look at Virginia's quarterback and say, this guy reminds me of Kyle Guy and I already hate him? That guy was – Calandria is awesome. But he does kind of – he has a very Virginia basketball feel to him. He's got the baby face.
Yeah, I mean, I really am interested to see what's going to happen with that kid next year. Now, granted, like, watch Virginia come out and he throws like 4 interceptions this week and Virginia is Virginia. But I was truly like I don't want to say blown away, but I was impressed by the kid.
I was too. Tom says, has Dan recovered from the Grim Reaper insult? People don't forget.
No, absolutely not.
It was a good one.
Yep, it was very damaging, and I will be thinking about it every time I stand at LNN Stadium from now on.
I don't think we have any more time for any questions, so if we didn't get to you, apologies. We'll get to some of those next week as well. But let's talk football. We've got a huge game coming up in about 24 hours from now. We're going to be playing Louisville on the road, taking on Miami. The Cards can lock up a trip to Charlotte for the ACC Championship game with a victory. The spread is kind of all over the place for this game. Louisville's a narrow favorite some places. Miami's a narrow favorite some places. It's a pick 'em a lot of places. I get the apprehension here. I mean, going into the season, I think on our preview podcast, I said this was the least confident I was about any game on the schedule. I'm still not feeling overly confident about this game. I am terrified of tomorrow. I've got a bad feeling about it. There are reasons to have that feeling. There are reasons not to have that feeling. Where are you right now, confidence level wise, Dan?
You know what? Like, I don't think we played our best against Virginia. We obviously on the road have looked like a different team, but for some reason, I'm gonna trust Jeff in a big game here and just go all in. Like, I think we're gonna come out guns blazing, and I know we're up against it. Like, listen. If you've watched any ACC games this year, like, it feels like when you're on the road, like, it is the biggest uphill climb. Like, we're not going to get one call. We're not going to get any 50-50 review that goes on. So it feels like you're already playing, like, almost down 7-0 or 10-0, and you got to climb your way out of that. But I just think this game, Jeff knows the importance of it, knows the importance of the program. So I do feel good about us being ready.
I've gotten to a point now where we've just sort of been assuming that we're going to play in the conference championship game because every statistical model, every analytical model that's out there says it's like 97% that Louisville's going to the conference championship game. And then I look at this scenario, like Virginia Tech gets the spot. If we lose to Miami and then North Carolina beats Clemson and NC State, and Virginia Tech beats NC State in Virginia, Virginia Tech goes. And I'm like, I know that the numbers say they have like a 2% chance. That seems a little bit like eerily possible. Like, I've gotten to a point now where if we somehow don't go to the conference championship game, I'm going to be fucking crushed. Like, I've just been assuming this is going to happen for the last couple of weeks. We need to lock this thing up. I don't want this to go into next week. I'll be too nervous about it. Like, we need to win this game. Miami is a very strange team. Like, you look at them and you say, if Mario Cristobal knew basic math and just took a knee against Georgia Tech, the season could have been totally different. They came out, they scored, I think, 38 points or more in all 4 of their first games. And then since that the Georgia Tech game just kind of broke them, it seems like. Like, since then, the offense has not been good. Tyler Van Dyke has been bad. He's back at quarterback this week after the Emery Williams kid broke his arm after his first start last week against Florida State. You can easily say they should be better, but they also, like, their only 2 conference wins came in overtime and double overtime. They could easily be 0-7 or 0-6 in the ACC right now. So I don't know what to really expect. They've got 5 stars all over the field. They've got a lot of talent at running back. They've got playmakers on the outside. They've been insanely turnover prone. My issue with this game is that, and I'm pretty sure I said this before the start of the season, Miami kind of does the same thing every year where they have a solid September. They get their expectations sky high. When they lose for the first time and all their like national title dreams go out the window, they kind of quit for a little bit. Like they end up dropping a couple more games that they shouldn't. And then at the end of the year, there's one, at least one game where all that five-star talent is like, we're going to try. We're locked in for whatever reason. And they just beat the shit out of a pretty good team. I'm a little bit concerned. I don't think we're going to get the shit kicked out of us, but I'm a little bit concerned that this is the game where they choose to like wake up and everything kind of goes their way. It just feels like that's possible for us right now.
I do have flashbacks last time we played there when like it seemed like they broke about 30 big plays on us. I was like, Jesus. Even though, I mean, that we're talking a couple of years back. But with that being said, I mean, no doubt the team's talented. For me, this whole game starts up on the defensive line. I think if we can pressure this kid and kind of, you know, get him throwing, because he wants to throw interceptions. He's got 12 on the year. If we can stop the run, get some pressure, I think we're going to be in good shape. I just hope, like, we don't come out and play tight. Like, I really hope Jeff's like, fuck it. Let's just play loose, you know, run the ball, air it out when we need to. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to win any road game, you know, in college football, much less a team that from like a talent standpoint seems that they're on par with you at least. So it's going to be tough, but I give us the advantage in the coaching department, and we just have more to play for right now.
We definitely have the better coaches. I mean, my concern, like this may have to be a Jack Plummer game. And Miami's going to do – they're eighth in the country in sacks. They have a super talented front seven. They'll bring heat on Plummer. They'll probably get home a decent amount of time. Like, Jack's going to have to make the right decision a lot because it's a secondary that is super opportunistic. The guy that scares me the most on this team is safety Cam Kitchens. Like, he led the FBS in interceptions last year. I think he's top five in interceptions now. He's on pace to have the same numbers that he had a year ago. He's a ball hawk. He's a guy that gambles a lot, but – makes huge plays. Like, if Plummer does the thing where he gets pressure and just kind of throws one up, like, Kitchens will come down with it. They've got maybe the two most talented safeties in the entire country, and their corners are damn good too. Like, we just can't have those fuck ups that we've had at times this year. And then I think defensively, banking on them to keep making terrible mistakes is, you know, the law of averages says eventually it's going to stop happening. And you look at Van Dyke's numbers, like, it's not like he doesn't have ability. I mean, right. This guy, he threw for 374 yards and five touchdowns and no interceptions against Texas A&M earlier this year. If you can do that, I mean, we saw him a couple years ago light us up as well. Like, he can play. He had, I mean, the first four games of this year, he had 11 touchdowns, one interception. In the last four games, he's had five touchdowns and somehow 11 interceptions. Like he just – he's in his own head for whatever reason. I hope he doesn't break out against us. They've got the Ja'Curry, Wilson, I think is his name, is the other backup who played a decent amount last year, but has not seen the field so far this year. I don't know. It's just we need them.
Are you glad to be facing Van Dyke, or like with the way Emery Williams was playing last week, would you have been more nervous with him?
I mean, he looked okay. He didn't look great. I probably would be. I would have been fine with Emery Williams. Like, he ends up 8 of 23 in that game, didn't take a bunch of shots downfield. Like, I feel like Tyler Van Dyke is just like, this is his sort of like his swan song, his last chance to really prove it. They're playing a top 10 team for the second straight week. I would not be shocked at all if he comes out and has a good game. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he came out and threw a couple more picks either. So,
It does seem like Miami's kind of the trendy pick right now. So, I think a lot of people are thinking along the same lines as you are.
I just want to keep this up, man. We haven't had a 10-win season since 2013. Like, Lamar never won 10 games here. It's been a long time since we've gone into, the conference championship game would be incredible. I want to go ahead and lock that down. I also want to, you know, the pipe dream of the college football playoff would be fun to dream about for another couple more weeks if chaos happens. Like, that would be fun. I know we got jumped by Missouri, but that will take care of itself if we win this game. Like, I really, really want to win tomorrow. I just – my confidence level is a little bit low. I just feel like this is the type of game that, especially the way we played last week, maybe you drop. Now, the one good thing that I do like is when we've had extra rest this year, we've played some of our best football. We had the extra rest before the Notre Dame game. We played a Thursday night game the week before. played fantastic. We had extra rest before the Duke game. That was after our bye week, and beat them 23-0. Jeff's had a couple extra days to prepare for this. We've had a chance to get some guys rested. And I'm like you. Like, Jeff Brohm loves big games. I feel like he's probably been preparing for this one a little bit. I'm not saying he overlooked Virginia, but there are probably some wrinkles that he's got in play that he's ready to bust out this weekend. I think this is a – if you feel confident about this, this is a trust in Jeff Brohm type game.
Nope, that's – I'm a Jeff Brohm truther. Like, I think he's made for these type of games, so I'm kind of putting all my eggs in his basket. And like I said, there's just so much on. I mean, God, what a big game. I mean, this feels great. We're noon, ABC.
Yeah.
Do we know who's on the call? Is it McDonough?
We know, but I haven't seen it. I couldn't tell you right now.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't be more excited about this. I mean, I've been thinking about playing in these type of games forever, and to have it come to fruition, like already in year one under Brohm, is awesome.
And look, we've never won down there. We're 0-6-1 in road games against Miami. You know, we should have had the game in 0-4. We've come close a couple other times. Three of our biggest wins in program history have come against Miami. So it's not like we haven't beaten them. We just haven't gotten the job done away from home, which I did put that poll up this week and said, which of the three wins over Miami are your favorite? And 2006 won. And somebody justified it by saying, I always think about the Dan story where Dan's trying to act like he's going to run down on the field when we were on the phone together. And you're like,
yes.
They're stomping on the bird. I got to get down there. Like, sort of implying that you were going to go fight. So you made an impact on this rivalry as well, Dan.
No, believe me, as soon as we take the field, I'm going to think about the same thing. I'm going to be like, I haven't forgot about this. The guy waving the towel above his head. Oh, God, I was so pissed. But this one's for Mario.
This one's for Mario and for, we've had a couple other famous pictures over the years. Devontae had a great picture. The, I think it was a Moby Okoye teabagging the guy. That was great. A lot of great moments against Miami. Unfortunately, none have come on the road. Do you have a day in the dumps real quick, or is the bag going to justify it?
I'll do a real quick one. So like our neighbor next door, he's like old. His wife passed away like a couple of years ago, but he is like the nicest guy. Like, he brings us cookies, for God's sake, like every 2 weeks. Like, our kids like go over there, and like he plays with his dog with the kids, and like just could not be to have a better next door neighbor than this guy. So I guess that this was on like Wednesday. Cam went and played with some little girl in the neighborhood, and they were playing, I guess, and she has a dog. And anyways, out of the blue, I didn't even know, like, I knew they were off playing, but that's besides the point. I get a ring on my doorbell, and it's from our neighbor. And he's like, and he's kind of hard of hearing. He's getting a little bit. He's like, was your son wearing a Pele jersey? Was Cam wearing a Pele jersey today? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm so sorry. He's like, I was just taking a walk, and all of a sudden this loose dog came up, and this kid came over and like didn't have the dog on a leash, trying to get the dog away. And I was like, God damn it. Get your dog under control. He was like, I GD'd him and all this stuff. And when I walked away, I'm like, gosh, you know what? That actually might have been Cam. So, Cam came home, and me and Kim were like, let's see if he says anything. And we're like, hey, bud, how was playing with your friend? He's like, good. We're like, anything happened? He's like, nope. We're like, you didn't see our neighbor? And he's like, tears like started to well up. And we were like, buddy, it's okay, man. He's apologizing. He was like, I didn't know why he yelled at me. So anyways, he came over and gave Cam some treats and said he was sorry. He never would have yelled at him. He thought it was him. But I thought it was hilarious. Like, I was dying.
It is crazy how kids will just, something insane will happen to them and they just won't say anything about it. Like, we're already at the stage where Virginia will come home from school and I'm like, how was school? And she's like, good. I'm like, what'd you do? And she's like, played, and like, won't give any details. And then the teacher will post photos on that Blooms app where you see stuff. And it's like, they had it. Like, a fire truck came to school and she got to climb the ladder of the fire truck. I'm like, nothing happened at school. What's going on? Like, it's insane. Yeah. All right.
It's only just begun.
Let's make some predictions. I'm going to go first because I don't feel good about this, and hopefully you can end the pod on a higher note. I don't think we're winning tomorrow. I hate to say this is only the second time this year that I've picked against us. The last time was Notre Dame. Hopefully this goes just as well. I'm going to say Miami wins like 30-20. I've got a bad feeling. I will take this loss if it means we're going to beat Kentucky. I think we've got to beat UK, but I don't have a good feeling about this. I'm hoping to really be proven wrong in about 24 hours.
You know what? Not only do we need this game, the ACC needs this game because Florida State needs our ranking to be high so they can stay in the college football playoff. Maybe we sneak in a call or two here. I think Jeff Grom comes out, guns a-blazing. I think we win 31-24, and we march into UK with in the ACC championship with max momentum.
Woo! I love it. Let's do it. Go Cards. Fuck Miami. Let's get a big one this weekend. We'll be back next week to talk a lot of football. Not much basketball, probably, but who knows? We'll see what happens. It'll be Thanksgiving week. We're excited. So much happening. Let's get this done this weekend. Let's keep the good times rolling. Go Cards. Beat Miami.
Go Cards, baby.